Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you from beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta, Georgia. Metron people, would you please give the podcast people a big welcome? A Merry Christmas. Yeah, I said Merry Christmas, and nobody said you couldn't. The holidays is not a replacement of Merry Christmas. Holiday means holy day. And it just is an acknowledgement that there are other holidays in the month of December. It is not anti-Christmas. People say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. Not originally. The winter solstice has been celebrated on December 25th for millennia by the pagans before Jesus was born. So just enjoy it all. Is Christmas pagan? Yep. That makes it even more enjoyable. That Christmas tree that you have in your living room is an homage to the Druids who worshipped trees and decorated them. And in Jeremiah, it says, do not decorate a tree. So see, you might as well come to Metron because you done violated the Bible. But I'm going to incorporate this song into my teaching, or maybe it's the same thing. But those of you that are just now listening to the podcast, you missed the earlier music, but Eddie Sellers sang Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, and he was talking about how he was sort of rehearsing it on his bed, and as he was doing, he felt family members really, I don't know if you said sing along with you, but that's what was happening. The cloud of witnesses. There's something about music. Music definitely thins the veil between the seen and the unseen. It just does. So there are things on the other side of what we perceive as reality, and music makes whatever that membrane is. It's like when a woman gives birth and they keep talking about how she's effacing, and that, you know, they'll say that the cervix is from 10 centimeters down to, once you get down to one or two, it is thin so much that, you know, they'll say it's time. Once the membrane becomes that thin, you know, the birth canal opens and something emerges from the unseen realm. And that's really what happens. That's what happens with music. It thins that membrane, and it's just very, very powerful. Even, you know, which most gay men of my age demographic are Madonna fans. I've never been a Madonna fan, but that song when she would sing, "Music makes the people come together." There's something about that line. It was just, I can't think of another word but anointed. It was like, wow, it really does. Music unites people in a way. I was watching I rewatched a documentary on, I think it was on Netflix, about Dolly Parton, and Jane Fonda was talking about her, and she said, I've never seen an artist who has such wide appeal. There's everybody here. She's got like MAGA hat wearing, you know, white people, and she's got, you know, definitely a gay following, and country music fan, pop music, and how that she really brings people together. And I thought, but only music really could do that. Doctrine divides us. Music brings us together. And the reason I think it's interesting that he mentioned about loved ones that had passed on is I want to do this song. The song "Auld Lang Syne" that you usually hear on New Year's Eve really doesn't mention anything about New Year's. It's sort of kind of a fluke how that song became associated with New Year's, because that's really not what it's about. It's and I'm sure I'll have to show you at least the ending of "It's a Wonderful Life." I know it's about a bunch of white people in the 40s, but it's a universal message about. And the last thing that happens on "It's a Wonderful Life" is they sing "Auld Lang Syne," and you know the bell rings and the little girl, is it Zuzu? She says that Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. And Jimmy Stewart says, that's right, Zuzu, that's right. And they all sing Auld Lang Syne. And it's one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite Christmas albums is Rod Stewart came out with one a few years ago. And he does a rendition of Auld Lang Syne that's it's just incredible. He did a Christmas special from Scotland because Auld Lang Syne is Scottish. And he did it with, they had all these people playing bagpipes. It was, I mean, it was transcendent. If you ever get a chance to see that. But I love this song. It was, the great poet Robert Burns. He's credited with writing it, but really it was just a tradition. It was what the song is about. It's hard to do an actual transliteration of it. Auld Lang Syne technically means old long since. And it just, like in English, it would mean for times gone by, for times past. And so Robert Burns put it together into a poem, and it's about two Scottish men sitting in a pub drinking. And it's in very thick, I don't know if you call that Gaelic, definitely Scottish, where I can't even quote it because it's not really English, but one of them says, "You drink your pint, and I'll drink mine," and this one line, man, it just gets me every time. It says, "We'll take a cup of kindness yet, today's of Auld Lang Syne," and I love the meaning of the song. The reason people do it at New Year's is ideally it means whatever drama you had going on during the year, end it now and start fresh in January. That's why it might have been Guy Lombardo back in the day that started playing it at New Year's and sort of made it connected. You know, we're living in a world where there's so much unkindness. And Christmas needs to be, it's so important, it's so necessary to have this moment where, in theory, everybody takes a break from the nastiness and just takes a cup of kindness. It doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes there's Christmases from hell, you know, that some people have. But the idea is, you know, it's a time for peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so years ago, you know, the singer, Bobby Darin, that used to sing Mack the Knife, in 1960, he had a Christmas album. And he didn't write it. A couple of guys I'm not familiar with wrote. They wrote a song called Christmas Auld Lang Syne. And that's what I'm going to sing. And I think it's an important message, which is why it interested me what Eddie had to say about remembering Christmases past. You know, the whole Charles Dickens Christmas Carol is the whole thing about, it's about these ghosts showing him his life in context. Like he doesn't understand who he is or why he has become like he is. Why is he this horrible old guy? And so the ghost shows him the ghost of Christmas past. Like, this is why you are like you are. There's a scripture that says that the curse causeless does not come. And even last night, this may be TMI, but we go to this, it's the Atlanta Gay Men's Chorus. They do this amazing thing every year at Cathedral of St. Philip. We've been going for years, and I texted Jeremy Lopez the other day. I said, "Are you guys coming to Atlanta any during December?" And he said, "Yeah, we'll probably come into shop." I said, "Well, we'd like to take you to this thing. If you've never been to it, it's really..." Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's us. And the cathedral, it's a beautiful cathedral. And it's... So yeah, they worked out. They said, "Yeah, we'll be there next weekend." And we went out to eat. I made the reservation for dinner, and Jeremy and I nearly got into a fist fight over who's going to pay for it. I said, I invited y'all. You drove over from Alabama. I'm paying for dinner. He said, you always pay for dinner. Somebody else is going to pay for it for a while. And I said, you're right. I do always pay for dinner. Thank you. So so he won. But not always. Always. Not always. Mostly always. But what was I saying? Why did I bring that up? I was talking about Ghost of Christmas Past. I know. So last night, Jeremy's prophetic, and I'm kind of spilling my guts, and we didn't have anything to drink. It's not like it was the wine talking. It was the pasta talking. But just something I could tell is unhealed in me that I could not shut up about, to the point that I said, I'm sorry, I'm bringing the room down. Like, I don't know why I'm talking about this. And he said, no, it's no problem with us. We're glad to listen. I said, I need to go see a therapist and talk to somebody about how to process this thing that I clearly have not worked through. And the reason I don't usually go to see people is I think, what would anybody tell me that I don't already know? I mean, I can't, I go to a therapist and end up being that I can't tell you how many times that's happened. I've gone to somebody for help and I'm the one that, I'm a gift to the world to help people. I mean, people just, everywhere I am, people come up to me and ask for help. And it's fine. It's just that sometimes you need help as well. And so I was thinking a lot about the Ghost of Christmas Past and, what we've experienced before and how we got to this place. And the Auld Lang Syne. And this week, there's a picture, I've posted it several times, of it's Howie and me in 1978 with a bunch of guys from my school. It was in the memories again this week. And it may be up there. But Thursday night, I went, there's this comedian I love. Ken stayed out in Greensboro where he works. He's will not say no to any of these clients he has at night, so he works. But he's bought me several things this Christmas, so I'm like, well, okay. So it worked. But so I went to see this comedian, Gary Goldman, that I like. I don't think he'd be Ken's cup of tea anyway. He's kind of a Jewish neurotic guy that it's just, I don't know, that humor is funny to me. But as I got there early to the thing, and I'm scrolling, I'm online, I'm scrolling, and I looked, and one of the guys that's in that picture had just died. His wife posted, that Paul crossed over. And he and I weren't that good of friends, but years later, this is after we built the big church in Conyers. He came, and it was I can't even remember what it was. I remember Dr. Lovelace was there. I think Donnie and Reba were there. It's gotten blurry in my mind, but something happened that went bad between us. It was something about, he had this Bible school that he wanted to bring to he really felt he wanted to bring to the church and make it available, and that was not my vision. And it wasn't like we were screaming and hollering at each other, but we never spoke again. It was like one of those things that just kind of ended badly. And what's so weird is I'm looking at, he just died. I mean, he's my age. He just died. And I'm thinking, we had some kind of bad blood. And for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. Yeah. I know it was something about a Bible school that he had but I don't even remember the details or why it was such a big issue. Are y'all still with me? Am I rambling too much? And then yesterday, I guess his widow must have been scrolling through the pictures, or I don't know if it was in somebody else's memories. And she said, wow, thank you for sharing this. And I thought, I didn't share it. Because I wanted to say, your husband and I didn't end on good terms, I do believe this, and I wholeheartedly believe this. I think there are some things you don't get right with some people on this side as much as you would like to. And even though my ideas of heaven are not conventional, I do think life goes on. And I think, like, I still have some unfinished conversations. I certainly do with my dad, that I think, well, we'll find each other somewhere in eternity, and we'll, at a very evolved state, be able to have a conversation that clearly we could never have in this realm. You know, there's only so many attempts you can make to have a certain level of communication, and you just realize this is just not going to happen. It's why Jesus said, I have many other things to tell you, but you can't bear them. And Jesus left a lot of things unsaid. You know, even remember, is it at the end of the Gospel of John, where he says, I suppose if all the things he said and done were recorded, all the books in something about, like, all the books that were written could not contain all of it. So clearly, whatever we have as scripture is just one of the tiny facets on the diamond of Jesus. Even there's a, you hear me? You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Even there's a lyric you sang in that third verse. Brighter and brighter he will shine. And I'm saying all of this to say that Christmas is all you have right now, this moment. I know a lot of people that, you know, we're here last Christmas, that didn't know they weren't going to be here. You know, the Steven Spielberg has remade West Side Story, and it's coming out. I think it's going to be in theaters this week. And Stephen Sondheim wrote the lyrics to West Side Story. The original movie came out in 1960 and won Best Picture that year. And Stephen Sondheim died last week, and he was that. I don't even watch Stephen Colbert, but I was scrolling by there, and they were showing a clip of Sondheim on his show last week. He was 91 last week, talking about how excited he was about the movie coming out. And even though he's 91, he looked healthy. He didn't look like I certainly didn't get the vibe he was about to die. I thought, who would have thought he wouldn't be here 48 hours later? And, you know, I think about people that I know that passed, and I have to be so careful how I say this, because God knows I don't want any more drama with family members, but, you know, this Marcus Lamb, who Marcus and Joni Lamb have, our Church of the Now program used to be on their Daystar network. Debbie and I went and did their telethon one time, and I realized I am not a telethon guy. But good guy. I haven't watched him in years. My mom is a devotee of theirs, watches him every night, and he's like a, and I swear to Jesus, this is not a political statement. I'm just saying he's a major vax denier and COVID denier, and he died of COVID this week. And a lot of people are, you know, that I know are, you know, messaging me, you know, like I'm going to gloat over it. I'm like, I'm not gloating over it. I hate that it happened. I wish they could take it as a teachable moment to realize we were wrong about this, because he's a lot of these megachurch pastors that some of them are so extreme, they won't even allow you to come in your church if you're wearing a mask, because they see it as, they think it's, you know, the other side, who have died. And I think this would be such a great time for you to save some lives, to say, look, on this one, we were wrong. And now, you know, they're doubling down, saying, you know, it was the devil that killed him because he was exposing Biden for who he is. I'm like, oh my God, does it ever stop? Does it ever stop with y'all? Why can't you just say, and you know, I don't even want to post about vaccines because people want to get in there and fight over it. And I'm like, look, there are people that wear seatbelts that die in car accidents. I still wear a seatbelt.
Right.
There are people that lock their doors at night whose houses still get broken into. They still have home invasions. I don't go to bed with my door wide open saying, well, you know, there's nothing I can do. There are people that have smoke detectors. Their houses still burn down. I have a smoke detector. Nobody said it's a panacea, but it's something that you can do. And it's so, and I'm saying this as a pure heart as I possibly can. I think, you know, when companies like Pfizer, who, by the way, when Pfizer came out with Viagra years ago, men were breaking their legs trying to get to the CVS to buy some or get a prescription. And not one man ever said, "What's in this stuff?" Not one. They love them some Viagra. And then Pfizer comes out with something they've been working on for 20 years, and people think it, they're more comfortable taking a horse dewormer. Like, I'm vaccine boosted, and if they said you have to get a booster every month, I'd be like, okay, fine. Like, last night, I was in a very crowded cathedral, and I was comfortable thinking, well, because you couldn't get in unless you showed a card, which I love. That is not the mark of the beast. If you think that's the mark of the beast, you have no concept of the book of Revelation. I've gotten to the place now, as soon as I hear somebody say, it says in Revelations, as soon as you say Revelations, plural, I'm like, I'm already not going to read what you're going to say because you don't even know know the name of the book. I don't care if you hate Joe Biden. I don't care if you hate the Democrats. I don't care, but don't make this a conspiracy theory, because it's just people say they shouldn't force people to take it. Well, here's the thing. You have a right to drive drunk, but I don't want you to drive drunk because you could run into, it's not about your personal freedom. It's about helping other people. And I'm not trying to be on a soapbox about it. I'm saying I'm so sad that at Christmas, people can't just say, well, I'd be fine with it if he said, we hate the Democrats. We think Joe Biden's the devil, but you should probably get a vaccination. I'd be, okay, fine. Do that. That might save some lives. Right. What's that got to do with Auld Lang Syne? It's because I think, well, could everybody just take a cup of kindness for a minute? That's why I didn't post anything negative about Marcus Lamb. I said I wasn't friends with him, but we were on his network. We were in between Benny Hinn and Rod Parsley. One of these things is not like the other. And it was fine. I mean, I have people that are still in my life now that came because of that. And so, you know, his widow grew up in my grandfather's church in South Carolina. If you think I'm gloating over it, you've clearly never met me. I'm not gloating. I'm saying, oh, I wish people could put their stuff down, including me. Like, you know, Roe versus Wade is in the balance. And I'm like, I get it. I get the argument on both sides. I mean, people say life begins at conception. I think life begins before conception. You agreed to come here before. I also know, and people say, well, they should just use birth control. Well, 12-year-old girls that get raped by their uncles don't usually have a chance to be on birth control. So there's that. Like, I know people want to protect, you know, embryos. I get it. But right now in Texas, there's at least 12 girls that, I mean, are seventh graders that they're having to buy maternity clothes for. I don't know the answer. I'm saying, could we not fight about it for Christmas and say, I understand there are two sides to it. I get it. Don't send me pictures of dismembered fetuses. I understand. I understand the problem with it on both sides. And if, I'll just say this, if we ever needed a cup of kindness, you know, it's now. I watched an interview with Alec Baldwin. It's the first time he's spoken out since this thing happened where and it was like 20 minutes from Christina and Todd's house. And Todd, because he's in the movie industry, he's worked with some of those people. I don't think he knew the woman that got killed, but I was listening to his interview, and it's heartbreaking. He is so heartbroken over it, and he never even pulled the trigger. It was an explosion that happened with the gun. And there's people who hate him saying he's so mean, he probably killed a person. Like, oh, Jesus, did you really say that? Did you really say that? I remember when Obama was president, he was talking about something about Sandy Hook, and he choked up to cry. And people that I know that went to church in the now were writing on this, that he makes me sick with his crocodile tears. And I'm like, really? A four-year-old having their head blown off doesn't make you a little teared up? I mean, when I think of first graders being shot, it makes me a little emotional. If you hate Obama, fine, but are you really that far gone that you think he's making that up? Like, you're okay with kindergartners being gunned down in their K-4 class and killed. And there's people who say, I don't even think it happened. Jesus, you think those parents whose lives are destroyed are making that up? So wherever you are, I mean, it's like, I think it's pretty obvious kind of where I'm at politically, but wherever you are, could we just take a cup of kindness? Could we just remember some of the Christmases past and remember why we are like we are? And also be aware of Christmas future, because there might be people in your life that aren't going to be here next Christmas. I received it. No, I received it the other day. I took a really long walk. I ended up walking like 8 miles. And I posted about it, and Eddie said, good Lord, you're going to live to be 100. I said, from your mouth to God's ear. As long as I'm in my right mind. I have altered that. I used to say I'm living to be 120. I'm like, no, if I can keep my mind, but I don't want my words to be so strong that, you know, my kids are like, good God, how many more years has he got? And like, well, he said 120. Like, we got 30 more years to go. I am telling y'all way too much. But I tell Jonah, I tell all my kids, I said, I do not want y'all to go through with me what I went through with Dad. And Jonah said, do you want us to kill you? I said, maybe if it's painless, like, don't tell me what's going on. But if I really knew I was going to be, and Ken does not agree with me on this, because Ken's a Christian. But I'm like, no, if I know that within a couple of months I'm not going to know who you are, then get me something to drink, take me to Panama City, tell me we're going on a boat ride, and just and if I happen to slip over, like, I know, so please don't write me. I'm quasi-serious, but if that offends you, I'm saying, as long as I'm viable and can take myself to the bathroom and take care of all that, then yes, 120. If not, then I want to say, well, then I want to go to the next dimension. I guess, I think I've been around, they call it death and dying. It's real. I don't know that death's even real. I think it's just a changing of dimensions. I don't think you, like when you said those relatives of yours came and sat on your bed, you're not hallucinating. They came and sat on your bed. So those people that you think you've lost are still very much alive. Even this just happened the other day. And if mom's watching me, this will help, because she's not going to like what it said about Marcus Lamb. And I want us to have a good dinner tonight. But this was cool. Dad was always, he was this way with me, but he was with her. He's very verbal. And he would write stuff to her in cards, and she wanted to hear, a few days ago, she said, if I could just hear from him, I'd feel so much better. And somehow she found this card that he wrote years ago, like 40 years ago, that she kept. And he said, in the card, he said, when you don't know where I am, I'll be right beside you. You won't be able to see me, but I'll be there looking over you. And she said, I know it was a message. She said, I don't even remember ever reading that card. So I was glad that she had that with him, because I think, well, then he's alive and very aware of you and watching over you. And that's so good. So I want to be, but I, the other thing that you said, Eddie, that I totally got, you know, I loved, Jared and Christina were always at their mom's house on Christmas morning. I got so tired of fighting over that. I said, just tell me when you want me to pick them up. Cause it's, you know, if you have to have the sheriff come out and enforce it to where you can have your kids on Christmas, it's like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll get them next week. I don't want to fight like that. But I did have early, you know, Christmas mornings with Judah and Jonah. And I remember, I am going to sing. Don't worry. This is my teacher. Ken can put stuff together so easy. It's like, I can't believe how quickly he can put stuff together. For me, I can put it together, but it's quite a thing. And I remember getting, Jonah was, I don't know, what, 3 or 4? We got him a big wheel, and I'm not exaggerating. I was up all night putting that thing together. I think I finally got the last screw in at like around 6 o'clock. He woke up, took one look at it, and said, "Buddy, look, I got your big wheel." I think he sat on it for 2 seconds. And then there was something else they got that they wanted to go outside and play with. I don't remember him ever even riding it. And I was like, I was up all night. Well, how does a 3-year-old even understand that you did that? Now, I don't regret that that happened. I'm glad I got to experience the dad thing and all that. But if I thought I had to sit up all Christmas Eve and put together a big wheel now, I would be like, can I not? Can I just, do they have a Cash App? Can I just send them some money? So I'm saying, you know that Dr. Seuss quote, don't cry that it happens. I mean, don't cry that it's over, smile that it happened. I enjoyed my kids at every age they were. Even when they were teenagers, you know, people used to say, oh, teenagers. And my teenagers are great. I enjoyed them. And, I mean, Jared had issues that he has struggled with into his adult life, but we never saw it. That was like a part of his life that he kept so hidden, I didn't even know about it. But my point is, when you're talking about life now, is you getting up and having a cup of coffee and chilling out, I'm like, I feel that so much. When people ask me, when are you going to retire? I'm like, what would I retire from? I have a following. You know, Kevin sends me $2.22. He has sent more than that. I just want you to say what? Elisa said, that's my pension. I'll take it. Little is much when God is in it. No, but I'm saying I'm at a point now where, and I've prayed for people all week long. I've heard from people that used to go to church now 20 years ago who have written me saying, I'm sitting at the doctor waiting for, you know, it doesn't look good. But whatever, and you'll always be my pastor. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be ugly, but I don't really think of you as my pastor. I mean, I haven't seen you since the 90s, but okay, you know, praying hand emoji, believing for the best. Like, okay, if that's, you know, you might want to update your files, because some of the stuff I teach now, you might not be that, you know. I mean, y'all who have stayed with me, y'all are like the Marines. You know what I mean? You have been through theological changes, my coming out, my coming down here to downtown. Y'all don't even live down here. You know, like, you clearly heard my voice. I have no, that's why you can, those of you who go to Metron, you can text me. I'll send you an emoji and you get healed from it. I'll send somebody a praying hands. They're like, when I got the emoji, I got healed. I'm like, I know, we're next level. But I'm saying all that to say, I love that the guys that wrote this took the idea of Auld Lang Syne and turned it into a Christmas song. because I think it should be a Christmas song. I love that It's a Wonderful Life ends with everybody singing that. And I can only pray that for every one of you in here, you can make peace with whoever it is you need to make peace with. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to talk it out with them. Sometimes it means you're going to have to resolve it on your end. And you know, Jesus said in John 18, he says, if you have a brother who's offended, go to him. And he says, if he receives you, you have received your brother. Not everybody's going to receive you. There's irreparable damage that happens in relationships. Where is it in Proverbs that says, a brother offended is harder to be won back than it is to take a strong city. And you know, I have many people in my life that one Sunday were saying I was the most anointed man they've ever met. The next Sunday were never speaking to me again. My landscape is littered with a lot of people like that. When I do leave here at 100, or how did you said 81? That gives me a few. All right, we'll be here at 81. By 100, we'll be on a cruise talking about it. I want to leave here, whenever I do, at peace with everybody. Avery reminds me of this frequently, because I said years ago, somebody asked me, what's your dream? I said, I want to be the freest man who ever lived. And I forget that I said that, and sometimes something will happen and Avery will text me, freest man who ever lived. I'm like, thanks for reminding me, you're right. Even in my conversation with Jeremy and Patrick last night, I thought, I'm not as free as I need to be. So I need to, in the new year, I need to get this thing fixed. So I stopped talking about it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when there's a thing that you think is over, but it just keeps, it's like, I know this is gross, but it's like, if you've ever thrown up and you throw up, but you still don't feel good yet, it's like, I didn't get it all out. I know that's gross, but you know, there is a way when you go to throw up and you're like, oh, thank God. And there's other times you're like, this is not going to be my last visit to this toilet. I want it to be the last visit. You know, I want to flush it. I mean, I'm sorry to torture this metaphor, but I want to flush it and put the toilet seat down and and go brush my teeth and take a shower and say, that is out of my system now. I'm done with that. So this is the longest introduction to a song in history. If you look in Guinness Book of World Records and they say, what was the longest introduction to a song? It happened on December 5th, 2021. When mistletoe and tin, where's my other chord that I learned in seventh grade? Tinsel glow, paint a yuletide valentine. Back home I go to know. I know. What's going on with that chord? Let me start over. Take your time. Let him have his way. That's what I said earlier. These three chords I've taught myself from the Mel Bay guitar book. I've never really learned any beyond that, but I built an empire on those three chords. It's like loaves and fishes. When me mistletoe and why am I having a hard time with this D? Yeah, Avery's passing out candles. So when yours, what I kind of visualize is by the time we get to the end of the sermon, Ed's got his cell phone. Everybody kind of standing in. Sort of close with the candles. So let's try it. When mistletoe and tinsel glow, paint a yuletide valentine. I know. For a Christmas, Auld Lang Syne. When sleigh bells ring and choirs sing and the children's faces shine. With each new toy, we'll share the joy of a Christmas. And as we gather round the tree, our voices all combine in sweet accord. Can we bring these lights down? Joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him. Whisper it. But if there's a thing you need resolved, a relationship that needs to be restored, and restoring a relationship doesn't mean everything will be like it was. I mean, that sometimes restoration just means it's different, but it's not painful now. I want you to, you can say it out loud, or you can just think it. But I want you to think of this candle as a Christmas prayer. I'm not Catholic, but I love the idea when Catholics go into a cathedral and they light a candle for somebody. There's something about that that feels really, I just think it's beautiful. I love it. And there's something about a candle that says, this is what I would like restored. I know what mine is. Whatever yours is, you can whisper it there. Most of you have masks on, so you can whisper it into your mask. But make it a Christmas prayer. Believe for a Christmas miracle. If there's somebody you need to take a cup of kindness with, I want you to visualize what you would like that to be like. It might not happen exactly the way you visualize it, but at least you put it out there. Now, if somebody has a prayer for the new year that you would like something to happen, just speak it out, and we'll just say so be it when we hear you say it. I would like for us to come to the end of this pandemic. So be it. Somebody else? What's your Christmas wish? It can be personal if it's about your personal life. Nobody? Open mind for all. Thank you, Leander. So be it. Yeah, open minds and open hearts. And what? Oh, healthy minds, absolutely. So be it. What'd you say, Danny? Oh, you okay. Somebody else? Families coming together, so be it. Please.
In our place right now.
Please.
I declare health over all of us.
Yes.
Physical and spiritual.
Yes.
Yes.
So be it.
You know, Bishop, I've been putting that song up over and over. Because there's so much turmoil. And that chorus just speaks to me. It's really part of the thing that words have never said.
Karen was saying that she's been playing the song "My Grown Up Christmas List." A lot of artists have covered it. It's a prayer, you know. It's and that wars would never start. Absolutely, absolutely. I was even thinking today. Mariah Carey has a new song, a new Christmas song that she's done with. Him, but also who's the rapper, the Christian gospel rapper that did Stomp? Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin's on this song of hers. But the song she's most famous for is All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I don't know if y'all know this, but it's the first Christmas song that's ever gone diamond. Usually the highest. Like White Christmas was at platinum for years and years. This one has gone diamond. She's by 2017, she had made $60 million on royalties just from that one song. But what's interesting about it is the message of the song is All I Want for Christmas Is You. And that resonates with everybody. It's like, you know, how many more things can you get? Like, I'm not against people being wealthy. It's fine. But after a while, I mean, if you're a billionaire, like, how many more? I mean, I'm not a socialist. I believe in capitalism or whatever. It's just I can look out my window and see people living on the streets. And billionaires who don't pay taxes are spending millions of dollars to float in space for 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to be socialist, but is there something kind of towards the middle there? We could, you know, because I just don't think all these people living under the underpass next to my building are deadbeats. I think they're victims of a system that they, you know, I could look at them and say, why don't you just find a place to live? Well, Jeff Bezos might look at me and say, why don't you get $1 billion? I did. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. All I'm saying is, and please don't message me about the American dream. I know the American dream. I'm just saying, yes, it's just balance. The point is, how much stuff can you get till you realize all I want for Christmas is you and be at peace and to be peace with the person or the people in your life that really matter. And, you know, that's not the only Christmas. I mean, Blue Christmas, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Like, they're all songs about, I don't want anything. I want a physical connection with you. And I just want to say this. Those of you that are still in my life after all these years, I can't say it enough how much I appreciate you and love you and I'm so grateful that we've lived to see another Christmas together. Because we've experienced quite a few. And I believe this is not our last Christmas. I believe we've many more. So anybody else have a Christmas prayer, affirmation, Ross?
I'm a teacher, and the pandemic and the shutdown and the virus, everything that's going on, it's really hard on our children.
I'm sure.
Learn how to be kind to each other.
If you didn't hear, Roz is a teacher, as most of you all know. She's saying that because of everything that's happened with the pandemic, kids are having to learn how to just go back. What is your social social emotional learning, just how to be kind with each other. You know, I'm addicted to my phone and I'm online constantly. But you know, one of the worst things that has happened, people can hide behind technology and say things to each other that they would never say in person. You would never in a million years, but you can hide behind a name and even like yesterday, Alec Baldwin was talking about some of the people that have said stuff, and he's like, I can take it. It's just, I just can't believe the stuff that people say. But that's why that line in the song, "We'll take a cup of kindness yet." I'm like, I don't think it can be overstated. We're living in a world that has just gotten way too mean. Just way too mean. This was the other day this happened. It was just a small thing. I don't know a lot of the people in my building. Like we say hello in the elevators, but everybody's involved in their own life. And, you know, I know two or three of my neighbors' names. But this one guy, I don't even know him. He lives on another floor. Young black guy. Doesn't look like he, from appearances, doesn't look like he would ever have anything in common with somebody like me. So we're on the elevator together, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" You always speak. And we're standing there because I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm going to say to this guy. I mean, I could describe to you what he looks like, and you would know even more. Like, I'm not saying I can't talk to black people. Obviously, I can. I'm saying this guy is young and very hip-hop looking, and, you know, all of it, the locks and sagging pants and whatever. So we're just standing there, and he says, "Can I just tell you something?" I was so surprised because he was so explosive about it. I said, "Yeah, what?" And he said, it was something about he had just gone to some football game, and his team won, and they weren't supposed to win. But it was like, it was some big vindication for some rivalry that had gone. And he said, "It was like the best day of my life. I don't have anybody to tell that happened." I said, "Dude, I'm so happy for you. That's awesome." You know, and it was, but I thought, isn't that interesting? Because I wouldn't think he would even want to talk to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's like, I need to tell somebody this thing happened. And I got excited with him too. I said, "That's awesome." I said, "Did they win by a lot?" He said, "Oh yeah, it was devastating." He said, "I was like, I had a total attitude." I said, "Yay, Happy New Year." And I thought, man, people just want connection. You know, all of a sudden it had nothing to do with our outward differences, age differences, et cetera. It was just like, I'm a human being. You're a human being. You need somebody to get excited with you about this thing that happened. And I'm like, I'm excited that you're excited. Good. Go team. And it just, I don't know. It was like this little moment of, man, everybody just needs connection. No, you know, that's why even I feel like where we are now, Metron has kind of struck a balance between not being here all the time, because I think not being here all the time is kind of a safety measure still, but to still just push the envelope a little bit and say we still have to once in a while be in the same physical location. We take all the precautions and et cetera. But I like that we've found a way to kind of have both. And I think it's honestly the best of both worlds. Anybody else have anything you want to affirm before we go?
Rachel says, "I need restoration."
Oh, is that somebody online? Say, oh, cool. All right, Rachel, if you're watching that, we speak restoration to you. And restoration to your brokenness. Boy, there's a lot of broken people walking around that put on a good face.
Yeah, wear the mask.
Wear the mask, yeah. Anybody else? All right. Before you put your candle out, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy, one more time. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All right. While she's sending that around. You can collect the candles. Thank you for those of you who continue to give. Danny will be back in the back to get. Well, let's go ahead and play the. Let's play the. I'll go. And I think, I don't know, I announced this online, but just so you know, we did just send a large offering to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. We did it in honor of Debbie's mom, Shirley, who had asked in lieu of flowers. So just so you know, that was our outreach for this month. I think we sent them $500. So those of you that give, you know that that's part of where your giving goes. So if you... We're going to play this. If you have cash, just pay it forward and give it to somebody.
Contributing to Metro.
You can give any time using 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification of submission and outcome. When you contribute to Metro, you're also donating for the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
Like I said, if you have cash, pay forward. If you have a check, Danny will be back there in the back to receive that from you. Thank you. If you want to make sure your giving is up to IRS standards, remember we're approaching the end of the year, so do what you got to do to get that right.